Welcome to the Federal IT Challenge. In this episode, we are talking about how agencies can use cloud computing to find real dollar savings. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest, as always, is Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector. As always, welcome, Doug.
Thank you, Jason.
Well, let me set some context for our conversation, then we're going to jump right in. Our conversation continues with another step in the journey to the cloud. In the end, cloud services gives agencies two major benefits: cost savings and efficiencies in how they meet their mission. Depending on who you talk to, there's little agreement on which is most important: savings or efficiencies. For instance, the Office of Management and Budget recently issued its 2014 budget guidance to agencies, and they've asked for a 10% cut across their all IT spending. OMB also wants to know how agencies would reinvest at least 5% of those cuts in technology spending in innovation technologies such as cloud computing. What is clear from this 2014 guidance is IT spending will be at its lowest point in at least 5 years. OMB estimates it would be less than $74 billion. Agencies are putting a lot of faith in cloud computing to make up for that dwindling IT budget. OMB expects agencies to move 79 applications to the cloud by the end of 2012. And overall, the administration believes more than $20 billion of IT spend could go to the cloud. But there's still some question out there whether cloud computing really brings savings. The Brookings Institute reported in 2010 that a McKinsey analysis found cloud computing in some instances would actually cost more than your typical client server setup. But if agency budgets are indeed shrinking, the government has to figure out how both the savings and efficiency pieces fit together in the broader mission puzzle. So with that context, I will turn it back to Doug Bourgeois from VMware. Now, there's still debate seems to be going on about, is cloud computing cheaper? Will it bring savings? Or is that debate over? Have agencies done enough work with cloud computing that they can say, we have acceptance, we understand that there is benefits, and that benefits is real dollar cost savings?
Is the debate over cloud cost savings still going on? Yes. But at the same time, is there an understanding and acceptance that the cloud is cheaper? Well, yes to that too. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, there's definitely a debate over the cloud cost savings. And in particular, what I'm seeing is within the IT community and the CIOs and their staffs, and in some respects, you know, even OMB with respect to overseeing the policies related to IT. I think that the IT groups have kind of picked the low-hanging fruit and are kind of looking at it and saying, hey, things are a little bit tougher now, so maybe it's not as easy to achieve cost savings. So they're really debating it more so. I saw a recent survey in industry that had the perspective of the CFOs, and this is across not just the government, but across IT more broadly, and CFOs across corporate America are very much buying into the idea that there is significant cost savings from cloud computing. So interestingly enough, the CFOs are looking for cloud computing as a strategy to continue to drive cost savings across the organization, while somewhat ironically, IT is saying, hey, maybe not so much so. But I think the important thing to remember is, you know, virtualization is, while it was critical in the low-hanging fruit phase, virtualization actually provides the opportunity to go to three different cost savings plateaus: the initial infrastructure consolidation plateau, the next plateau around software and applications, and then the next plateau really around end-user computing and the capabilities around mobility. So it's still a critical strategy in order to achieve the cost savings that are still out there.
When you say low-hanging fruit, let's be clear so the audience understands, you're talking about things like email, you're thinking storage, really stuff that the word everyone uses now is commodity.
Exactly. I would say the initial phases of cloud computing really were around physical, as you mentioned, client-server silo to virtual migration. And that is a pure server consolidation, storage consolidation, network consolidation kind of a strategy. And those provided substantial, right? You know, I remember 20 to 40%, you know, return on investment type of figures on a regular basis as those initiatives were ongoing. But once those initial, you know, plateaus were reached, you know, it becomes a little more challenging. Okay, the easy applications have been virtualized, and now the next plateau becomes maybe some of the more enterprise type of applications, database applications, email applications, as you refer to, collaboration type of software being virtualized and run on that infrastructure from phase one. So, you know, the phase one doesn't just provide cost benefits of that 20 to 40% ROI. It also lays the groundwork for additional enterprise applications to be migrated to that shared infrastructure and provide a second, you know, 20% kind of ROI benefit for those particular applications.
So as agencies move this next set of applications to the cloud, or at least start to look at it, how is the best way to calculate that cost savings? And is it real dollars? Is it cost avoidance? And then you also mentioned return on investment. How does that play into it? Because Is ROI the same as cost savings?
We're going to take the discussion into a little bit of a technicality area here, you know, and, you know, fortunately, I got my MBA hat and my experience running one of the financial management, you know, lines of business to be able to go for background. But in a nutshell, you know, cost savings are cost savings, right? It's pretty straightforward in terms of, you know, you have a cost of doing something, and then you execute some project, and then you have a new end state, and that end state has a lower cost, right?
I mean, that's very much what you're seeing, for instance, in emails. There's many agencies who say, I used to spend X dollars per person on email, now I spend X minus Y, and that Z figure is now much lower than what my X figure used to be. That's what you're basically talking about.
That is exactly what I'm talking about, and you used a key term there. You said, you know, per user, right? So now we're getting into kind of the cost management aspect. And this is an area where, frankly, I think across the government, the cost management methodologies and best practices applied to the IT cost structure are very immature. And there's a lot of room for improvement here. And this is critical because it's really important when calculating either cost savings or return on investment, which goes one step further than just calculating the cost savings, right? You have to have an accurate baseline of your existing cost structure in order to determine what your savings are, and then subsequent to that, what your return is. And what I have found is basically the IT business management function, right? Just this concept of managing the IT as a services organization with transparency and fully loaded cost structures on a service-by-service basis are so immature that they are really not readily available. And that makes it even more difficult for either the CFO of a federal agency or for the CIO to really establish what their cost savings opportunity is from a cloud migration.
So what do you do when you don't have that baseline? Do you go figure out the baseline first and then come back around and say, okay, now we're ready to move to the cloud? Or do you just say, we know the total dollar we're spending, and you can get maybe an idea of how much is by dividing total dollar by number of people?
The good news is this baseline can be captured on a service-by-service basis. So what the IT organization or CIO doesn't have to do is look at the entire scope of the IT budget, you know, and say, okay, what does my baseline cost look like there? No, limit the scope to the scope of the project you're analyzing or you're considering moving forward with. If it's a piece of the infrastructure, you draw a box around the piece of the infrastructure. If it's a particular siloed application and the infrastructure it runs on, you draw a box around that. And then you really have to dig in to the cost structure of what it really takes, including the labor costs of the staff that support that, the tangential, the indirect costs, the power, the cooling, the salaries of some of the execs of the management structure, you know, even the room, you know, cost of the conference rooms that support that particular organization, right? You've got to fully load the cost structure and again, limiting the scope of what you're looking at to that you're considering move into the cloud makes it so much easier to be able to capture that. So you don't have to, you know, take on that entire challenge in one bite, right? You take it one nibble at a time.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. I think that gives a good jumping off point for our next section when we talk really about the investments and the idea of how to gain those long-term savings. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector. Today's topic is how agencies can use cloud computing to find real dollar savings.
Discover virtualization best practices on storage, networking, performance, and security with VMware at VMware.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector. Today's topic is how agencies can use cloud computing to find real dollar savings. Now, Doug, before break, we were talking about the idea of baselining. You got to baseline your costs. But once you have that baseline, once you know how much you're paying for whatever the service is, what happens next? Do you go out with an RFP or what?
With a valid baseline of the cost of a service in hand, the IT organization, really what's happening here is the IT organization is transforming its role, right? So less and less will government employees be operating and maintaining and supporting the infrastructure and to somewhat of a lesser extent, the applications that run on that infrastructure. And they're becoming more of a broker of services, right? So they take that baseline and they need to compare it from a benchmark standpoint to the other services that are available to them so that whether it's internal or whether it's external from the cloud, they need to be able to have that benchmark for comparative purposes. And so that was where perhaps an RFI comes in. If it's something new to the agency, like a cloud computing alternative, they'll go out and seek from the vendor community, what are the alternatives, what are the costs associated with that, and what are the various service level options that we have if we're going to take advantage of this. And then they can make an informed decision that goes into the RFP, which becomes the kind of the next step for how they acquire it.
But when it comes to an RFI, are you seeing agencies asking vendors for actual cost figures? And is it just a top line cost? Meaning, what would it be for this set of technologies?
Generally speaking, an RFI wouldn't necessarily go to the detailed cost level, right? But there would be, you know, some information gathering around the architecture, the standards, what are the actual services, the different service levels. There might be some questions around the technology and the business adoption model, you know, and those sorts of things around it because it's so new. They do have the ability. It is up to each individual effort whether the RFI wants to gather some baseline cost information or not. That generally would come from the RFP process.
So once you kind of have your baseline and you've maybe gone out with that RFI and you're understanding what you're kind of heading, what the path you're heading toward, does this usually then happen is that you're going to need to invest a little to save a lot? Or are agencies saying we can do this investment in cloud and virtualization without actually money coming out of our pocket because the savings that we're going to get can kind of balance that out?
There are a couple of characteristics of cloud computing in general, which take the traditional IT capital investment model and kind of turn it on its ear a little bit. So it is worthy of discussing. Although there is a saying that, you know, ROI, the I is investment. So if you want to get a return, you do have to invest something. So there is some, you know, initial funding infusion that needs to occur to get to a new state. However, that said, one is, again, with the initial stages of cloud computing, the infrastructure was virtualized and consolidated, and that freed up, you know, a certain amount of infrastructure funding so that savings occurred in a very rapid time period. What I'm saying, let me restate that, is that the payback from the initial investment in cloud computing infrastructure through the underlying virtualization technology resulted in a return on investment that was measured in weeks, not years. So the return on that investment actually starts to accrue to the agency, not only within the same budget year, within the same budget quarter. And so there is the opportunity to then capture that savings and decide what to invest it in for the next phase. And then the second shift is the shift away from the capital investment in the actual equipment itself to an operating expense, pay for what you consume kind of a model, which also really transforms the way IT is acquired from an investment standpoint.
And of course, you said those keywords, transfer from a CapEx to the OpEx, to be use some of the terms that we're hearing in the community nowadays. When agencies do that shift to an operational expenditure, what's the steps they have to take to get there? Because I think agencies, will step back and say, yeah, but that's such a long path because I have all these servers and everything's already working and there's money that I got to pay up front to the new vendor. Is it as simple as saying as soon as you turn off one set of servers and turn it on in the cloud, you'll start accruing that savings almost immediately?
You do actually start. It doesn't necessarily matter where that infrastructure runs. As we've talked about before on this show several times, that the IT model that is most likely to be the end state here is some form of hybrid cloud where there is a much more efficient, advanced virtualization technology in the existing federal data center running. There is some ecosystem of service providers and virtualized cloud technology running there, and that the agency is managing the security and the operations of that environment from a central point, most likely behind their firewall somewhere, right? So from that perspective, the initial investment, sure, there is going to be some initial investment in new infrastructure, physical stuff. But that presents first a significant cost reduction over what it replaced, so that it is actually costing so much less in the initial phase that there's money being freed up from that. But then it provides additional benefits because it has now opened the door. This type of technology opens the door to taking applications that used to run. That's why they call them silos, because the applications didn't work well with other applications. So they had to have their own infrastructure to run on. Now it opens the door to consolidating the applications themselves onto that infrastructure, which adds another benefit of cost reduction that it then provides the opportunity for the agency to invest in the next phase, which would be phase three, right?
And that's where agencies are starting to head down, is to get to that phase three, as you talked about.
So let me restate, right? Phase one, infrastructure consolidation through virtualization. Phase two, application virtualization spins off more cost savings, which will provide the agencies with the ability to invest in phase three, which could be mobile application development to support the mission efficiency, not just the technology efficiency.
All right, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge, brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector. Today's topic is how agencies can use cloud computing to find real dollar savings.
Reduce costs and increase application availability with server virtualization with VMware at VMware.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge, brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector. Today's topic is how agencies can use cloud computing to find real dollar savings. Now, Doug, before break, we were talking a lot about the three different models, the three steps to cloud computing, and we were talking savings and where the savings can come from. Obviously, there's three pieces of cloud. There's software as a service, infrastructure as a service, platform as a service. Which of these three would you say are the easiest and the first, and maybe they're not the same ones, where agencies can really recognize savings from that move to the cloud?
There's two different avenues to go here. So in one respect, they're somewhat cumulative. So in other words, an agency looking at their custom applications and a lot of their mission-oriented applications and the infrastructure that those run on, generally speaking, the infrastructure as a service or shared, low-level technology resources is the first step. And that provides the opportunity to go to the next step, which is called PaaS, which is really around the applications themselves and the opportunity to develop applications faster and to develop applications that run really, really well on the infrastructure as a service underneath it. So, first infrastructure, then PaaS. And then that also creates opportunity to rewrite applications, both business applications like CRM applications or financial or HR applications or even core mission applications, to rewrite them to work in the third model, which would be the software as a service or SaaS model. And most of us are used to working in the SaaS model when we use our smartphones, we go to the App Store and we download a new application and we start using it right away. Well, the same concept applies. Unfortunately, all of the applications across the government don't work that way today, right? So in my view, it's first infrastructure, then PaaS, then SaaS, with a few minor exceptions of the vendor-driven applications that are actually deployed in a SaaS model to start with. Those can be fairly easy to just adopt.
But from an adoption standpoint, that's one thing. But what about savings? Do you find savings from infrastructure as soon as you move the infrastructure, so that becomes the first and the easiest? Or do those savings take longer and maybe you find savings more quickly from SaaS or the platform as a service?
For the most part, the opportunity to save money in the IT cost structure is much more readily available and faster at the infrastructure level. So generally speaking, that's going to be the quickest way to save money, even after the initial wave of cloud, which I would say through consolidation has probably already occurred, right? Still, the infrastructure is the quickest way to accumulate savings. But that said, if there's an application that can be deployed or redeployed in a SaaS model, that could also be a quick way to capture some savings.
And that savings comes from, because when you look at, for instance, an OMB 300, where the biggest spend is happening, is that infrastructure. They used to do the combined infrastructure, 300 business case, telecom, back office. Is that why infrastructure can lead to savings most quickly?
For one, because of what you just described, because there's a significant proportion of the budget going into infrastructure. But second, because the consolidation projects themselves can be carried out through virtualization technology very rapidly. Like I said, measured in weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks. And then at the conclusion of that project, 8 weeks later, the cost savings start to roll in right then. So the rapid timeline makes it easier as well. If you're talking about migration to, you know, an email-based SaaS system, you know, those still can take months and months, you know, from what we've seen with the early adopters so far.
You mentioned, you didn't say the words, but you mentioned kind of the agile development approach, which you're seeing a lot across the government. How does this move to the cloud really benefit or give some boost to that agile development approach?
Well, in a nutshell, you know, I do have some experience, you know, leading an organization using, you know, the precursor of the agile approach. When we were at the patent office and we took that office completely paperless, we used basically the precursor. So the tenets here are somewhat a little bit different for IT. It's customer centric. It's a very flexible, adaptable kind of a methodology. It's very teamwork oriented, not just IT, but also the end users involved. And it involves like a very, very short cycle, rapid kind of prototyping. And these are all techniques that are enabled by virtualization and the cloud services that are built on top of the virtualization foundation, such as PaaS. So the PaaS environment can make it easier to execute an agile methodology for the development, the enhancement, and the maintenance of the applications that are used across the government.
And does that open the door then for mobile and potentially shared services, but at least mobile computing? Because obviously there's a lot of excitement around mobile.
Absolutely. It opens the door to both mobile application development and deployment and shared services. And in a way, they're both very closely related, because the shared services is really not just about the infrastructure. Of course, it is, though, about sharing infrastructure for efficiency's sake. But it's also about sharing the applications that are used on top of that infrastructure across more and more agencies to get to that high economies of scale, right? So the economy of scale, you know, basically says the more and more users you have using it, the less per user it costs to deploy that, tying back to that initial observation we made earlier in the program. And so when you think about the way federal employees are now engaging with their increasing use of tablet devices and they're increasingly mobile in carrying out their jobs, the applications themselves through shared services can be redeployed using a PaaS agile methodology onto a cloud infrastructure that then enables these applications to be shared on a very, very wide scale basis, and even to bring on a new agency within a matter of days, as opposed to with the old approach, which used to be months and months and perhaps years, and then we sometimes didn't actually get it done, and we've all read about those in the paper.
Well, I think that's the key. What your examples show is cloud can not just lead to savings, but the efficiencies, which is getting the services to citizens more quickly and meeting your mission more efficiently. We're almost out of time. Before I let you go, we got to talk a little bit about what can the government do to further tap into that potential savings of the cloud. We've talked in the past about some changes to procurement that would be good. We've talked about changes to the brokerage model that you talked about earlier today. What other steps need to be taken?
In this case, Jason, I'm going to go back to the basics. And I'm going to say, you know, what the agencies need to do. It's a simple 1, 2, 3. Continue to virtualize the infrastructure, which is going to provide additional cost savings to invest in the next phase, which I'm going to say is virtualize the mission critical and business applications. That will provide another level of savings, which enables them to go to the next phase, which is to leverage PaaS in the cloud and agile methodologies to redevelop and deploy the mission applications, which will enable mobile workforce and additional cost savings. And tap into the program dollars and savings and efficiencies there, as opposed to limiting the opportunity to just the IT budget, which, as we know, is only 3% of the federal budget.
All right, with that note, it's a great place to end. That's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to the Federal IT Challenge, brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I've been speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector. Today's topic was how agencies can use cloud computing to find real dollar savings. To hear the show in its entirety and learn more about how virtualization can help your agency, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.